everyone, and welcome to this Nomad Life podcast. So glad that you're here. I'm Minivan Lee of YouTube Minivan Lee, and we also have Paul here. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Lee. And I am Paul, and I'm on YouTube once in a while when Lee lets me, so.
That's right. Only when you get to.
But I'll tell you what, folks, I'm very happy to tell you out there that we have a very special guest today. She has agreed to do an interview with us for this Nomad Life podcast, and it's a very special friend. Her name is T. T is in the mental health field. She just recently gained her new license for private practice, but at the moment she still works with a mental health system in the area of Tucson. So I'd like to introduce her at this time. How you doing, T?
I am doing very well. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on the podcast.
We're glad you're here.
And she's very special to me because T is my daughter.
That is correct.
She's my younger daughter. And so I would like to mention that T is younger than most in her field because she started college when she was 16.
Very amazing.
It is.
Absolutely. First of all, T, what age group of clients do you work with on a daily basis?
Oh, I am working with adolescents and families, and that is chosen specialty for me. So I'm working with 13 to 24-year-olds, mainly 13 to 17, but I take on some adults, some young adults as well. And I'm working with their families. So primarily if I'm doing individual therapy, I'm working with individuals who are within that adolescent age group, or I'm working with their families and some young adults.
Okay.
All here right. And there.
Do you enjoy your work?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were talking earlier about this idea of doing something via virtual teletherapy, and that is absolutely, I've had to do that during the pandemic, social distancing, individuals staying at home, and having to do that virtually is something that creates this distance where you can't connect with the individual in front of you. And working with adolescents, these are individuals who have a lot that they need to engage in physically and what that does mentally. So the idea of doing something virtual and having somebody distant and far away just has no real interest. It doesn't really give you that dynamic of working with children.
But is it better than virtually to work with adults, do you think?
I don't know that virtual therapy makes sense to me. I pull from therapeutic modalities, so in short, the interventions that I'm using with individuals doesn't really convey across virtual or necessarily convey outside of the office where I'm there with them.
Well, in talking about virtual therapy for adults, and since we're nomads, it would make sense, possibly, you catch my drift, for nomads to do virtual therapy.
Absolutely. I think if the focus is on engaging with somebody to bring you hope or to bring you encouragement in terms of how to navigate doing something either alone or in doing this with a group that you're not necessarily familiar with, taking that step, I'd imagine for some of the listeners that you have, this may be new to them. Being out on their own, and instead of being in sticks and bricks, on the road where your home is anywhere and everywhere, I think giving some of the comfort, you're not talking about your past, you're not necessarily talking about what has come before in your childhood and how that interferes or interrupts with where you are now. Instead, it's how to go through specific goals and build up some accomplishment in that. How can I get through this? This is really nerve-wracking to me, or this is really anxiety-inducing to me, or I don't know necessarily what I'm doing. Instead, in that moment, it's just giving these little tidbits of, well, here's a skill there, or this is a bit of a rumination for you, and instead just go and do it instead of thinking about it. Right. Write it down. What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? And then making sure that that's specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound, those more SMART goals, as opposed to some of the therapy that I'm probably doing.
Well, T, I'm curious to know, are mental health issues something that we're most likely to experience in our lives? I mean, I think that sometimes there's kind of a stigma attached to, oh, you're seeing a therapist.
Sure.
Oh, my. But is it pretty common, really?
If there is anything that I would like to convey in any space that I am in with whoever it is I am around, familiar or not, it is that mental health is no different than physical health. And if you're not in a position of trusting your doctor, that might be something to take a look at. But physical health, when you're going in and you have an injury, you have a sprained ankle, you have, that's probably a good indicator that you need some assistance. And then we all have that part of us where it's silent and not everybody or yourself are aware that it's something that needs attention. So you get a pain in your body, that's your body saying, hey, please pay attention to me. This is an area that needs some focus. And then that mental health, we're talking emotional health, we're talking social health, we're talking the thoughts that might be running through our head. That's something that we're not always paying attention to. And I would say because we all have a psychology, the idea is that that is just as important as, you know, we all need a tune-up every now and again. We all need to check in with ourselves.
I would say
absolutely.
I'm very happy to hear you say that because I have been on a therapist's couch off and on in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we all can benefit from that. I also see medical doctors occasionally in my life.
Go figure.
Yeah,
go figure.
How about that?
So I'm saying that sarcastically. Yes, no, I absolutely love that.
Yeah. At first it was kind of tough.
Sure.
But really, it begs the question, how fragile are our brain functions and our mental stability? Is that kind of a, we're not talking about a fragile bone in your hand necessarily, right?
Right.
But how is this thing above our shoulders? Is it pretty fragile?
I would say, given that it's something we use on an hour, a minute by minute basis, even when we are sleeping, you know, one need not have to go into, you know, this idea of dream interpretation. When we are something that we're using on a regular basis, whether we're sleeping, awake, is constantly running. We are constantly processing information. We are constantly analyzing and then synthesizing that information. It is something that needs a tune-up on a regular basis. So if we are not taking the time to engage in mindfulness, you know, taking account, taking an inventory of, you know, what are those thoughts that are running through my mind? What is the purpose of those thoughts? Is that driving me to a place where I want to be? You know, what are my emotions around that? And because that is driving what we are doing on a regular basis, that is driving our behavior, our actions, I would say just as the body needs a tune-up, just as the body needs a quick check-in, the mind does as well.
That makes perfectly good sense.
Well, this is a good time to take a commercial. What do you think, Paul?
I think that would be fine.
And T, you ready?
Oh, perfect.
Let's do it.
YouTube.com, Minivan Lee. Videos about nomad life. Instructional videos, travel videos. I will teach you how to live in your minivan, SUV, or van high top successfully and in style. I share ideas and gadgets, including a really great solar setup to keep all your gadgets powered up throughout your travels. It's a great life full-time. It's also great for using your minivan as a camper for vacations. So go to youtube.com and search for Minivan Lee. L-E-E, Minivan Lee. Please subscribe and ring the bell for notifications. You are really going to enjoy the videos. They're fun and entertaining as well as instructional. Now back to the show.
Okay, we're back. Paul, I know you have a question.
I do. In our travels, Lee, I'm sure you'll recall, we've run into a number of different people. I mean, I don't know, a half dozen They yell and scream and seem terribly agitated, and sometimes you just, either you want to run the other way or you want to walk up to them and put your hand on their shoulder and say, hey, settle down, things are going to be okay. Somehow I don't know that that would turn out well, but is it best to avoid those people altogether, T?
It's really difficult in this situation because I want to say there is a rule of thumb to all things. And the reality is that there are so many different factors that come into play in a situation where you're dealing with somebody's mental health. What is going on behind their eyes? So that internal experience for somebody can be a multitude of things. Talking about the fragility of somebody's mental space, you know, you could have certainly, you know, there's a handful of disorders. You've got mood disorders, you've got personality disorders, you've got neurological disorders, you've got sex disorders, right? There's a multitude of things that could be going on for somebody. And I would say if your gut is telling you to stay away, you've got to trust your gut. That is not to be apathetic. That is not to say, hey, that individual does not matter to me. Instead, it is to listen to your gut in that moment based off of the information that you have. If that individual is, as you would say, agitated and perhaps maybe in a disturbed state, I would say listen to that. There's too many factors that
you know,
be going on there.
I'm thinking of the last person, I believe, that we ran into, which was here in downtown Tucson, down on 4th Avenue. And I guess what was going through my mind is I thought that that gentleman was, I wondered if he was going to be violent.
Sure.
I was a little taken aback, and Lee, I think you were even more
so. He kept following us, so I was a little nervous.
It was a little unnerving, that's for sure.
And he just kept screaming. So let me ask you a question then. Now that we know that, okay, it's really, it depends. You know, we should like watch to see how we feel about that. But is there any rule of thumb or what would be the most highest percentage of why they do this when they're homeless or on the streets? Was it like the chicken or the egg? Were they like this before and then became homeless? Or was it because maybe they are homeless? What makes them scream at people on the streets? Because we've seen this in Santa Cruz, San Diego. I mean, we've seen this all across.
So I would say not everyone who is homeless is psychologically unstable. I would say more often than not, you might get a majority of individuals who are homeless do have it's some form of psychological instability. There is a disorderedness about what is going on. And again, I want to be very careful not to say that the one necessitates the other. And you are going to see with somebody who has unmanaged mental illness, or we're talking about serious mental illness, who is not in a position to take care of themselves. So they're probably going to wander. They're probably going to get lost. They're probably not going to be focused on multitask assignments like holding down a job, applying for a job, you know, moving into an apartment or a home and establishing long-term relationships. So there's this level of transientness, and you're gonna have a higher population of individuals who are not in a good place. And you know, I can't imagine anyone who necessarily is following you or is, you know, talking aloud to no one who you can see. I mean, maybe they all have a Bluetooth in their ear, but I doubt it. So if you're talking about these individuals who are yelling and screaming, that's pretty asocial. That's pretty, it would not be socially appropriate. So
it could be almost anything. Schizophrenia. It could
be a thought disorder. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, somebody who is in a place of, you know, the thought disorders, schizophrenia, schizoaffective. You know, it could be bipolar with paranoid or any form of delusions. So you're dealing with a population. Again, if you're talking about somebody who is yelling and screaming, and or following you, you're probably not dealing with somebody who is necessarily stable or wanting to connect with you in a safe and stable pro-social way.
Well, I was just wondering if there was some kind of percentage of why they were doing it. If there's a, like a disorder of a high percentage that he probably might not be, but he probably is, maybe, or she.
Sure,
Yeah, it could be she.
Well, it's one in four individuals. This is in the, this might be international, so Google it. But it's one in four, at least in the U.S., that have a mental illness. So we're talking about...
Really?
We're talking about depression. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. We're talking about acute stress disorder. Those disorders that would... An anxiety disorder, if I didn't already say that. So we're talking about individuals who would not otherwise be designated with a serious mental illness. And what that means is you are in a state where you cannot function in a way that is socially necessary. So individuals of different cultures, they might have different traditions and norms, but if we're looking at here in the U.S., the expected way to behave is that you function on your own, you're able to give back to society, you're able to, if you don't have children, you're in some way, shape, or form giving back to your community, and you're not a burden on society. You are providing in some way, shape, or form for your own. So I don't know. I want to say the statistic is one in six, but I don't know that I want to be quoted on that. So it's one in four who has a general mental health,
That's
illness.
That's very common.
So if you count it down, that's, if you know four people and you are one of those, you can, probably guess. Depression, it can come because of a chemical imbalance, right? Your brain is not sending the right signals to say, hey, slow down there, don't lose all, don't waste all of your dopamine and norepinephrine, right? Don't waste all of that right now. Hold on to it. Or, it's a chemical that is a neurotransmitter that is telling you, don't use it at all. So, but depression can also happen because, you've lost a loved one. And it's not necessarily grief. It's not, it's complicated bereavement or, you experienced challenges in your environment,
right,
or you're unable to attain your goals or resources are taken from you.
I have a really important question because we have so many nomads out here who are listening. And I know that you're not going to give... major advice on this, but I'm just wondering, maybe we could have a little discussion.
Sure.
How do you feel about somebody who might be on a heavy psychotropic drug like lithium? What would you think about them being a nomad, deciding I'm going to go live in my rig? Would you think that is an appropriate thing to do? And if you'd have any advice if they did want to do that?
First and foremost, I would say everyone should have established health care. And for me, in my perspective, that absolutely includes the whole health. So that being said, if you happen to be on medications, on psychopharmacology, absolutely, I would say that should not bar you from going out and living as a nomad. And there's no but there. And you're working with a higher need than someone who is not. So whether you're taking blood pressure medication, whether you have diabetes, whether you have, those are just the two that come to mind now. But it is not impossible, and I would say always have established care. That is something that can be established from city to city.
And then my suggestion would be make sure that you have somewhere along the road that you can always pick up your meds.
So you bring up a really good point, and I guess I wasn't necessarily thinking about that initially. So if you are someone who travels, that does not bar you from being able to go from city to city, state to state, and get health care. it just makes it a challenge because you are the one who is now, the onus is on you to transfer hold of your medical records and to then transfer it. So you have to be in almost a directive role with taking those steps, because you can't just rely on your doctor saying, you know, transferring those scripts, those prescriptions for you. But if you have your medication bottle, that is good enough for any local authority to say, okay, this is what you're taking. Let me go ahead and get that filled up for you. Everything is electronic now. All electronic health records, to some degree, can be shared with the pharmacy. So if you have a medication and they have no concern of it being abused, I can't imagine somebody abusing a, you know, an antidepressant or, you know, a mood stabilizer or, you know, even an antipsychotic.
Right.
You know, individuals living with schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, you know, bipolar with rapid, you know, episodes. I mean, that is not going to stop you from being able to live a very successful life. It just makes it harder.
Well, thank you, T. That was a good explanation. These are questions that I've had about the nomad life and mental health. And we've got so much more to talk about, but let's go to a commercial break real quick, and we'll come right back.
That sounds like a great idea.
Let's do it.
Amazon links for gadgets and fun stuff for nomad life and beyond. Go to youtube.com, Minivan Lee, and check out all of the video descriptions for all of the links for the products that I recommend. Or you can go to amazon.com/shop/Minivan Lee to access my storefront. And these are links for Amazon products that I have used and that I recommend. They're tried and true. When you use my links, I receive a small commission at no cost to you. When you order within 24 hours of putting the item in your cart, even if you don't purchase that particular product, but you buy something else after using my link, I receive a small commission. You see, my Amazon link is like a door. When you go through it and shop, it helps me with my videos and podcast costs. Thank you so much for doing this. All of the links, like I said, are products that I've used and have already tested out for the nomad life. Hey, the products are for any type of lifestyle as well. Minivan Lee Amazon storefront is in this podcast description link also, as well as the link to the YouTube channel. So let's get back to this exciting program with Lee and Paul.
Hey, we're back, everybody.
Well, T, what advice would you offer someone who wants to travel and live this life, has recently retired or whatever, and now has the time finally, but they've had mental issues in the past?
Sure. You know, I would always offer, and this is something going back, you know, when we're children, we're taught some really interesting things, and that is to self-entertain and to have an imagination and to really self-soothe. Because parents can't always be there. And when we're adults, the idea is that we're expected to just maintain goal after goal after goal, productivity. And then, especially if we're talking about retiring, and then all of a sudden you just slow down. So I would say back to the basics. That would be my advice. And I don't like necessarily the idea of giving someone advice. The idea is what is going to work for them. And I would say, back to the basics for anyone that could fit anyone is, are you journaling? Are you checking in with yourself? Are you making sure that the activities that you're engaged in meet your ultimate goal for who you are, for what you want?
Well, can I give an example?
Yes, please.
Okay, somebody's traveling solo, and I've traveled solo, and so have you, Paul. For some time. And it can be a little unnerving at times.
Sure.
Because you really don't have anybody to talk to. I believe that in order to travel solo, I'm very grounded. And I love being by myself. But let's do a scenario. I've seen and heard people, they're brand new out there and they're traveling and they feel lost. Like, where am I? Wait a minute. Google, and I've had Google take me down the wrong road before.
Oh, sure. So
oh, three times did I.
Sure.
Really. I was inside. I'm like this little kid going, Mommy, where am I? I'm lost. They took me out on some weird road.
Yeah.
Well, any advice, and I've seen people kind of freak out over that. Is there any advice you could give somebody like that, that they're traveling solo and they get lost? Or another scenario is that it's nighttime, they're traveling, and they can't, they all of a sudden they're freaking out. And they're panicking because they can't find a place. They don't know where to park at night for the night. There you go.
Wow. Yeah. Connectivity is something that comes to mind for this first. And even going back to this idea of someone who's retired or is, you know, living the nomad life for the first time. Making sure that you're connected with people who are safe. Sometimes we are distant from loved ones, but I would say ensuring that you always have somebody that you can reach out to who can be this external grounding for you. If you're lost and you're freaking out and you're in panic mode, it's probably going to be really difficult if you've not been practicing this for years to slow yourself down and to get into that some safety or some, you know, some grounding statements. You know, this is where I am. I am safe. You know, I can pull through this, you know, some of those positive affirmations, because that panic is you're thinking, you're ruminating on all of the negatives. Oh my goodness, where am I? Oh my goodness, I've never been here before. Oh my goodness, I'm lost. Oh my goodness, what's the catastrophe there? Oh my goodness, I'm going to die. I will never, you know, get out of this. But so going into that second scenario you're sharing, if you are in a situation where you were lost, you're doing this for the first time, you're in a new city, you're in a new state, and nomad living is new for you, I would ensure, I'm going back to a video that you and Paul did, and it's, what are you taking with you? Well, do you have jumper cables? Do you have a first aid kit? Do you have some safety cones if you're pulled over on the road? Did you check your battery to make sure that that's running? Are your tires okay? Well, just as that is necessary, making sure that you are safe with yourself. You know, how often is that being talked about? Do you have positive thoughts? Can you pull yourself out of a panicky situation? And if you can't, I would say living alone is probably a dangerous thing anyways, whether you're in sticks or bricks or if you're out in a rig. You're not checking in with yourself and you don't know how to self-soothe. I would say that that's something to get started on right now, no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
Well, T, we know that a lot of people start this nomad life and they go off and start traveling alone.
Sure.
Sometimes they feel, after doing this for a little while, you know, I think I'd be much happier, much more comfortable if I was in a group of people traveling together.
Oh, sure.
How in the world? It's tough. We touched on this on a video or on a podcast, I can't remember which, a little bit ago. How do you get yourself into a group? How do you bust in and say, hi, I'm John, and I would sure love to travel with you guys?
How to fit in, because nomad world is quick. It moves quickly. You make friends quickly. You have to, because they might not be there in a couple of days. You have to decide right away.
Yeah.
So what's a quick way, any advice to make friends quickly? Put yourself out there like I'm wonderful and you're going to love traveling with me. How can you do that?
Wow. I feel like that is, one of those, that million-dollar question. How do people make
yes.
friends?
Yes.
And especially if it's moving really rapidly. I would say it's no different than some feedback I would give to an adolescent that I'm working with. How in the world do you make friends when you are not yet in the crowd. Being vulnerable is a pretty neat thing. Brene Brown.
Good advice, somebody
who you get, she is really well known. She's got a podcast herself. I know the name of it, but you can find her out there, and her whole thing is bravery through vulnerability. So my recommendation would be, my encouragement would be, if you want to connect with others, be open to saying that, hey, I'm traveling alone, would love to travel in a group, can we caravan together, and be open to learning about the folks that you're connecting with. Be open to listening, be open to offering things about you. I mean, they may be an established group, and here they see you, and that might make them nervous. So I would say, being vulnerable and just saying, hey, this is something that I want. What the hell do you think, right? Maybe sitting down and having a meal together. Yeah, breaking bread is a really beautiful thing. I think any community can connect on that one.
Can I mention that we do have a meetup coming up? Is there advice? The 1st of February. There's going to be a lot of people coming to Quartzsite, and they want to meet Paul and I, but my main goal is I want them to meet each other, so that they can connect up. So we're going to have the fireside chats. Any suggestions for Paul and I? We're going to have a talent night too around the campfire. What do you think Paul and I should do?
I love that. I wonder. So we all have these quirks about us that may not come out, especially if everything is so quick. My goodness.
Oh, it's quick. You got to do it quickly in the nomad world.
So I would say feel comfortable with jumping out of your skin. And, if you get a little embarrassed here or there, discomfort is the edge of learning. So if you're in a position where you're feeling uncomfortable and you're like, should I? I don't know. You got to do it. So are you a musician? Talent night, that's beautiful. Can you, tell some jokes, a little bit of comedy? Are you good with any type of an instrument? Is there something that, a craft that you have? A great way to do that is by identifying those is a little bit of an icebreaker. That doesn't just have to happen, in the therapy setting. That's a great way for people to connect with one another, maybe two truths and a lie that might, not too established, but some way of really connecting where you have to be silly, where you have to be uncomfortable, and that's really how you bond through, I don't know, through learning together, through discomfort in some instances, and having fun.
I guess I'd think about that as just being human. We all are, right? Get up there and show that you can be silly, and show that you think you can sing, and maybe it's not quite so good as it sounds in the shower when you're by yourself.
Right.
But, listen, T, I want to turn the tables.
Okay.
I want to ask you a question, and we'll get to that in just a moment.
Very good. Let's do a little commercial break very quickly.
Okay,
hang on.
Back.
Don't go anywhere, anybody. Right? Right.
Thinking about the nomad life? Do you know someone who's been contemplating living the nomad lifestyle? Well, I've got a book for you. So many are tired of spending all their money on rent or mortgage and the upkeep of the house. Hey, the nomad lifestyle, it's growing large, and I've got a book, How to Live in a Minivan, the Minivan Lee Way. You can find this book on Amazon. So just go to Amazon on your app or go on a browser and search for Minivan Lee on Amazon, and my book's gonna come up. It's an ebook and it's a paperback. It's not expensive. It has lots of lists to get you started from A to Z all the way into your minivan and beyond. It'll also help you stay organized in your first year as a nomad. I'll show you the ropes, where to park, how to spend your days, and I've got lots of lists to get you started. This isn't just for minivan life either. It's for SUV, van high tops, build outs, and even for class A, B, and C's. The lists are enormous, and you're going to love this book. So go to Amazon and search for Minivan Lee. That's L-E-E, Lee, Minivan Lee. Now let's get back to this exciting episode with Lee and Paul.
We're back, and we still, I hope you're having as much fun out there, my friends, as we are here, because this is fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm getting some good pointers, and it's bringing up things. And how about for you, Paul?
Absolutely. And speaking of having fun, I'm going to turn the tables on T just a little bit.
Okay.
T, how do you feel about having a parent that is a nomad? Mm. Good, bad, indifferent?
Oh, no. initially when I thought, my initial thoughts, exciting. That was followed by, wait a minute, I know that, right, so getting older, I want to be very careful there, right, getting older, and the idea of retiring and being established in one place and having everything that you need and or want right there, and then the reality that that is not you. You are this free spirit. You are somebody who wants to get out there and see the world and travel. And so I think coming to acceptance was a different road. I mean, initially really excited for you. I don't know that all children would necessarily think that for their parent, for their mom, especially going out on the road on their own. But I think there's just a little bit of that hippie-ish spirit that that we have in this family. So yeah, maybe that just would maybe that's different for me. Yes. But you asked how I feel, Paul. So I'm
getting now that I'm not solo anymore. How do you feel?
I was just going to say, be very careful how you answer that.
Yeah. No. No. So here's the thing. I love having my mom with somebody who makes her happy. And in meeting you, Paul, I would say that I tend to be somebody who is always very open. The reality is I am human and I err, and there was some caution. You know, who is this guy? I do not know. you know, especially now that you're telling me everything moves so fast, and you've said that before, Mom, but I'm happy for her, and that it would always be my goal for her to be happy and to have somebody there to partner with, to share in experiences with, and to travel with. I think that's one of the little pieces of magic in life. So happy and pleasantly happy.
That's a great answer.
Good answer. Yes.
Yeah. I mean that in earnest. So.
Do you want to travel when you get older, or even now?
Yes.
We talked about the virtual thing, but even more recent or coming up, would you like to? And what type of rig would you like if you had your choice of any rig? What would you like?
So I don't know that I have all of the language down. Paul, you have a Sprinter.
Or is Sprinter-like.
Okay.
It's technically not a Sprinter. It's actually made by Ram.
Okay.
And
a
it
Sprinter
is a
high-top
van. But if you look at a Sprinter and you look at my van, they look very similar.
So not having that language completely down. A Sprinter-like, whatever that means, you have a fair amount of space. You don't have cabin and seats separate. I've given that some thought. A colleague of mine at a previous agency, his whole thing was, it's similar age. I think he might have been a year older than me, but in our early 30s. And his thing was he was looking for sprinters, some used sprinters. And his whole thing was, I'm going to do a build out. This is, but his girlfriend was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So, I've definitely given that some thought. Yeah.
Because you can do a great build out. He just doesn't really do a build out, but you could put the bed in the back and then you can store things under it. And then you can have seen been in them before. And then along the side, you open the door, but on the other side, you have like a sink and cabinets and
absolutely.
You can do the cooking and put your stove out there. And
So
you would poop in a bucket, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, well, when I'm out camping, I'm pooping out in the dirt. out in the dirt. Yeah. So I'm not sure.
You gotta have
about
the qualities of, unless you're in a Class A or something. A Class A is like a bus, like a Greyhound bus. A Class B is like they're already built that way, but they have the high tops. They're big, like big vans, but they look different.
Like a Sprinter.
But they're actually, they have like a bathroom in there and a bed and things. Mm. And then your Class C always has that cab over. There's a position that goes up and it's over the cab. Mm. So that's a Class C. Those are the RVs.
Well, I actually have to go back a little bit. I've always thought of a Sprinter. And I remember telling you about school bus.
Oh, you want
a
schoolie?
They're called
schoolies.
Yes, yes. No, I've seen several of those. And I would imagine that's a lot of work. You'd have more space. But
there's
all those windows,
school.
Too.
That's the thing. You'd have a lot of space. You could stand up. I mean, you can walk 10 yards one way or the other, depending on what size bus you have.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a short bus. It's more
long. But there's a whole culture out there. They're called schoolies. They had their own gathering.
Yeah.
You know, once a year, the schoolies. The only drawback with a schoolie is they're kind of hard to park. In RVs, a lot of RV
places.
When
you've got that door too, I guess it's the idea of having one of the buses. Absolutely a Sprinter. I mean, I think that would, Sprinter
like. Where would you like to go? Where was the first place you would like to go?
South America.
Whoa.
South America. I have this romanticized dream of traveling. I mean, I would be A-okay even with a backpack and working for my my housing and food and literally just immersing myself. Spanish is always, as a language, especially growing up here in the Southwest, has always caught my attention. I studied it for my second language. I absolutely need to get back to school, take some classes at the community college.
You could always get Babbel. We have Babbel.
to immerse myself.
Yes,
and
right.
Absolutely. And, you know, at a Honduras or, you know, Guatemala, Brazil has always caught my attention. The idea of the night life and the culture, the music, the dancing. But I also understand that there would be some challenges with that, especially right now. Political things. But I think I would start there. I think Mexico and just kind of go all the way down.
Very good. Well, let me ask you one of those what if questions.
Okay.
What if you were going to leave this earth pretty quick, and you had to leave everything, any works that you did, any books that you wrote, anything like that, but you could leave three pieces of advice for the rest of the world.
Oh.
What would those three pieces of advice be?
My focus in working with adolescents, that age range, is because there's so much development and everything feels so heavy. Never give up, I would say. The advice One piece would be to never give up.
Never give up.
We all always get another opportunity to rewrite or to re-narrate what's going on in our lives, even though it all feels at any given moment. It all feels so finite, so set in stone. I think we're always developing, and we are always coming to a new realization. Hopefully, if we're allowing that to happen, I think that's a natural process. But some of us get stifled.
Is that stove number one?
Yeah, okay. Stove number one.
What's number two?
Number two would be absolutely to allow yourself to be vulnerable. And that means to not know everything, to get embarrassed, to feel silly or dare I say stupid. That way you're allowing yourself to learn, and that is never, no matter your age, that is hopefully something that you're allowing yourself to do. So allow yourself to be vulnerable, and I'll take a little bit of Brené Brown, obviously, kind of being the one who did a lot of the research on that one. And the third one would be, don't apologize for being who you are.
I like that. So one is never give up.
Never give up.
Two is be vulnerable.
Be vulnerable.
Number three is never apologize.
Absolutely. For being you.
For being you. I like that.
For being who you are, for thinking what you think, for feeling what you feel. Yeah.
Well, if you had a billboard, you have a billboard.
Okay.
We've given you a billboard. What's on it? What's on that billboard that everybody can drive by and see?
If you never fail, you're not trying hard enough.
I like that. Good. I like that. What? Well, I wonder what the picture would be. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Thomas
Me too.
Edison.
Me too.
Yeah. Right. Well, this has been such a fun hour here. And I hope that this is helpful to all of you out there. We talked about the nomad world and the mental health. Yeah. And I would like to mention, do we still have time, Paul, maybe to mention a couple of problems that have been in the past briefly with mental health?
Absolutely.
We have Lee from Lee and Max, and she was bullied by somebody. She was a nomad. They were nomads. And then she was bullied by another YouTuber. She was a YouTuber. And she was bullied by another YouTuber stealing her work. She was young. She was beautiful. And then her and Max broke up. She threw herself in front of the train. Yeah. And then just recently, it was Gabby, and I forget her boyfriend's name, yeah. And they were seen in a fight. They were nomads. They were YouTubers. Young travelers. And they were seen in a fight, a very large altercation, and all of a sudden she came up missing. They did eventually find her body, and then he shot himself. Is there any advice, knowing, I mean, I know this is, I wanted to mention this.
I did, you can't hear my silence, but my nonverbals.
So is there any advice you can give nomads out there, maybe young or couples who are out there? Because if there had been somebody to help Lee, or Gabby and the boyfriend, obviously there was an anger issue.
Right.
Then all three would still be alive. Is there any advice? Because the nomad world obviously can be high stress.
Yeah, you know, I guess my brain goes in so many different directions, and you know, wanting to assess and you know, focus on diagnostically what in the world would have been going on in those situations. You know, typically if somebody is going to commit suicide, sounds a little weird, so if someone is going to suicide and take their own life, you know, and their life will not continue on, you know, I wonder if they didn't have those thoughts before, and my position is that it's an intelligent individual who realizes that that is an option, and suicide is not talked about, I think, nearly enough. Wow. Yeah, no, those are two really, I mean, those are two really, I mean, yes, but I think who is not going to say that, you know, hey, the advice is to go and get help. I would say we accept the love that we think we deserve, and if we're in a situation where we are not being cherished and cared for and loved by those around us, whether we're getting that, you know, negative feedback online, and for me, you know, the internet, save for this, right? Save for this, there's a lot of, I don't know. There's a lot of negativity, and that's not even the right word that I want to share. We accept the love that we think we deserve, and in that situation, my heart just absolutely goes out to somebody who took that feedback, and it consumed her, and she took her own life. Just wow. So you are worth more than that. We are always worth more than that. And to those bullies, shame on you.
Well, yeah. How about if you're in a relationship and you're a nomad and you're obviously getting violent,
right?
You're obviously too close together.
Yeah.
And you need to somehow get your own rig or something.
Yeah, no. Well, we all need breaks. We all need breaks. We all need our private time. And I would say if somebody is in a position of, I mean, if things are getting violent, and I don't want to just, you know, blame the guy here, you know, but it sounds like there's power and control in either one of those situations. And so, yeah, absolutely. If it's getting to the place of violence, it's obviously too close. I mean, that's just the reality. So not knowing enough of that, my recommendation for anyone in a situation or tension is rising or those are even thoughts that you're having, stop, take a break, and maybe think things through just a little bit deeper than you currently are. The world is nasty. It not always, and the world is a nasty place. And so if you're not in a good place yourself, you're going to be more vulnerable to the nastiness out there. So,
well, I hope it was fair to bring those up at the end. But I did one when we were going to talk about mental health. I mean, we had talked about this,
mm-hmm.
that these are obvious issues
out
there. So being solo can be scary, but being together with a partner can turn out to be a bad situation.
Yeah.
So, and it seems to be that these both were young, and maybe the young ones take things too seriously, whereas as we get older, we don't take ourselves that seriously anymore, and we have more life experience. So I just wanted to address for those young people out there listening to this.
Mm-hmm. Well, our brains are not developed until we're about 25, and that's plus minus about a couple of years. The last part of our brain, it's formed, but it's not quite online. So about 25, and that is our frontal lobe. So that I know that you've talked about this before, Mom, but that's our executive functioning. So, you know, we can do quite a bit before that is even online, fully wired. Yeah, so I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to be productive and to take so much on and to live life to the fullest before we're even giving ourselves a chance to fully come to understand what in the world this world has to offer us, or what in the world we even want from it, because obviously it can all come to an end so quickly and much before anything has even happened. But I think when we get older, it's not a matter of age, it's a matter of we have more experience to really reflect on, and that wisdom comes from, you know, those failures, those struggles, and you know, that resiliency of like, yes, I've fallen down and I know how to pick myself back up. And the more times you fall down, hopefully you're not doing the same thing over and over again, but you're getting smarter along the way. You're getting a bit more intelligent along the way, and you're not falling into the same pitfalls. So,
Well, This has been very interesting. I really appreciate your time, too.
Yeah, thanks
really
for letting me come onto the podcast, and this was absolutely enjoyable.
Yeah, this is so much fun. Do you like it, Paul?
I do. I do, and it was very enlightening and gives us all something to think about. It's not just our medical health, but our mental health is so critically important.
Yes, and it matters too. And I think the more we talk about that and the more we normalize it, and you know, it's on our tongue, we're talking about it, I think it takes that stigma away. It's we're all thinking, feeling individuals, and there's so much tied into that. So if we're not paying attention to that, I mean, we really are. We're isolating ourselves, and if as a society we're not talking about that, but instead keeping it silent, we're only perpetuating people getting sicker. So, yeah, it's okay.
Well, this podcast is, if you're listening to it on the day that we've published it, it is Christmas Eve, and you know, Christmas time can be stressful.
Absolutely.
And I hope that everybody is in peace.
Yeah.
And at peace with themselves. And if you're nomads out there, that you're finding some way to connect up with your family or with other nomads out there,
absolutely.
Max. Hey, shout out to Max, Jack, and Joe out there, that we know that you're out there. I'm sure Max and Joe, you guys are with somebody, and we know what Jack is going to connect with his family out there. So I hope that all my prayers that all the nomads out there have connected up this holiday season.
I do wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Likewise.
And T, it's been wonderful to pester you and pound you with all these far out questions, but you've been great. Been a trooper to answer these things for us, and I appreciate it so much.
Well, it was a far out time. Thank you.
Yes.
And finally, don't forget, folks, be cool.